Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest. It's Jackie Cation. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com. You know the credits, even. Mike Rickberg singing and composing the theme song to the Dork Forest. Mike Rickberg singing at the end of the Dork Forest, the Mexican Hat Dance. By the way, wallpaper and ringtones available on my Tumblr page. All you got to do is find that. And, or email me, Jackie@JackieCation.com, and I'll send you the link if you would like a ringtone or a wallpaper. They are free. Patrick Brady fixes the audio. That's what he does. He fixes the audio on the various shows that I do. He also does the teaser videos on YouTube, which is a slog and a clip of each show. Go to youtube.com/thedorkforest. He's doing good work. And Vilmos fixes the websites. If you want Vilmos to do your website, go to the front page at JackieCation.com, scroll to the bottom, and he's got a link down there. If you go to JackieCation.com or DorkForest.com, you can do several things. You can donate to the show. If you enjoy the show, please donate. I'm looking for $100 a year from everyone. You can break it up however you want. And you can just buy stuff if you like. Because there's t-shirts, there's CDs, there's my new DVD, and then there's t-shirts, Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirts, and Dork Forest t-shirt designs by Brett Chambers. The Ranger t-shirt is by my nephew Salmon. That's right, his name's Salmon. He's great. Okay, and so you can do that. Allthingscomedy.com is our the umbrella, the podcast umbrella that we're in. You can download, this will make an excellent Horcrux a video for $5 from allthingsrecords.com/JackieCation if you like. You could follow me on Twitter, Facebook. There's a Facebook group, a Ranger group that you can ask to join if you like. And you can leave a message on iTunes that you like the show. What do you think of that? What else can you do? I know. How about we listen to the show? Why don't we have a program? But first, an ad from my sister, who is a socially responsible financial advisor lady, and is really good at her job. So listen to her ad, and then we'll get into it. A nice, dorky episode. Enjoy. At RBC Wealth Management, social responsibility starts at the top. As a part of the Royal Bank of Canada, RBC has been recognized among the world's financial, social, and environmental corporate leaders. Our sense of responsibility extends to our reputation for putting clients' interests first. My personal commitment is to help you achieve your financial goals by also considering sustainable and responsible investing strategies. To learn more, visit www.darlacashian.com. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. Guess where I'm at? Gen Con. The greatest board game convention that I've ever seen in my whole life. And I'm here with the gentlemen who are kind of responsible for the thing, right? Peter Akison, right? A-D-K-I-S-O-N?
That's very good.
No N.
That's me.
Right?
There is an N at the very end.
Right, but I always want to do Atkinson.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's just
people
Peter
love
Atkinson.
To get creative with the spelling.
of your name.
yes.
So if people go to peterakison.com, and then you're on Facebook.
That's
and,
right. That's Peter
Akison.
Atkinson, very good.
Atkinson, that's right. And Jake Tice. That's
absolutely,
right.
Absolutely, that's me.
We met Lucy Goosey on the Twitter, I believe. That's where we met. And
that's where they keep me.
That's because you're a marketing guy for
absolutely.
Gen Con. And I'm here in Indianapolis doing Crackers, doing stand-up comedy at the Crackers. And and Peter, you own Gen Con, but I'm kind of more excited. I'm excited about Gen Con because it's 50,000 people.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, are you?
Yeah, absolutely.
They just want to. And my husband's here pitching a board game and playing 1,000 board games.
Cool.
And comparing everything to games at all times. And
yep.
And it's amazing. It's just an awesome pile of dorks like puppies out there.
It's lovely. Yeah, we love it. It's the best 4 days in gaming.
The best 4 days in gaming, which is a slogan a friend of yours came up with,
right? That's
right.
That's right. Yeah, John Zinzer from AEG. The day I announced it to the public, we happened to be at a trade show, and he just comes up, and he just comes up, shakes my hand, and says, the best 4 days in gaming.
And you're like, I'm writing that down.
Yeah,
call
right.
my lawyers.
That's the tagline.
Success. It's, so, but it is, and it's been around forever.
Yes, it's been around since 1967. It was started by Gary Gygax, one of the
D&D guy.
Yeah, the guy that co-designed Dungeons & Dragons with Dave Arneson.
Okay.
And it wasn't even called Gen Con yet, but it was the beginning of a tradition. And this was 6 years before he designed Dungeons & Dragons. So it started off as a wargaming convention.
Oh, right.
And then we added, you know, then role-playing games got added and board games and every type of game imaginable.
Right.
Is here
giant
at Gen Con.
Giant foam dice.
Yes, giant foam dice.
The first year was maybe a dozen people, and the second year I think was 50, and it's grown a little bit since
then. That's right.
It's definitely. But it started, I get a lot of, I'm from Wisconsin, so I get a lot of people go, you know, it started in Lake Geneva.
Yeah,
you know,
it did. That's right. It did.
It's not there anymore. Yeah, I'm so sad. Yeah. And then it was in Milwaukee for a while, right?
Yeah, and a couple other spots in between, Parkside, and then Milwaukee. Last year in Milwaukee was 2002, and then we moved it here in 2003.
Okay.
And it's been here ever since.
It's been here ever since, which is 11 years in Indianapolis. And
I think it's 12, actually.
Is that math being one of my strong suits?
Yeah.
Let's go 12, because it's 2014. I never know. I don't know.
We don't own this podcast.
You have to count 2003.
Years.
Pardon me. Peter Atkinson's dorkdom is math.
Yeah.
And it's him and his adding and subtracting. Fancy. Well played.
Oh, thank you.
And so now, but the thing is you own Wizards of the Coast. Did you start Wizards of the Coast?
Yeah, I was founder along with friends. You know, we started Wizards of the Coast together in 1990.
And where was that? Was that in Seattle?
Seattle, yeah. The Seattle, greater Seattle area, yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
In 1990.
Know. Nobody's ever heard of Kent, so we say Seattle. Yeah.
Oh, fair enough. I often play Kirkland, and nobody's ever heard of that except for Costco attendees.
Yeah.
People who are like, I need to go buy a giant bottle of something.
Right.
72 Advil. Rolls of toilet paper.
Exactly. Yeah. And but that started in the Seattle area.
Yep, that's right.
And Wizards of the Coast, Magic the Gathering
is the famous. Yeah, we did. We launched Magic the Gathering in 1993. We acquired TSR, Dungeons & Dragons, and Gen Con in 97. Right. And we also did Pokemon. We were the company that brought Pokemon out of Japan
in
1999.
And who owns Yu-Gi-Oh?
Not us.
Not you guys.
So who cares?
So who cares? Those bastards. They don't know what the hell they're doing.
And I should say us. I sold the company to Hasbro back in 1999. So I didn't want to inadvertently imply anything about my current association with my friends at Wizards.
Right. But it's interesting because it's when you think of like when I think about the sort of the seminal games that affect every dork that I know, like they're dipped in Dungeons and Dragons and magic cards. And you knew and know those people, right?
Every one of them, actually.
Every single one, like Gary Gygax, you have broken bread. You have shared a pound of salt with Gary Gygax.
That's right. One of my most treasured photos is Gary and Richard Garfield and I together.
So. Oh, that's Richard Garfield who created
Magic the Gathering and Gary Gygax who created
D&D. We
should
get our hands on that picture.
Yeah,
it's like Nixon bowling. Like, it's a key moment.
It is. It's the only time they ever met. It
was that's at wild.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that belongs on the Gen Con website. Yeah. I don't know if you...
What other treasures do you have?
I'm holding out. I'm holding out for a higher price.
I like that. I said the only question I was going to ask you, Peter, was about Gen Con, is the fact that when you sold it to Hasbro, the whole shebang went to Hasbro. And then you said that you bought Gen Con back. You're like, oh, wait.
I didn't mean to sell you that part of it. Oops. Sorry. Wait. redo. Control Z.
Control Alt Delete.
Yeah. So, when I was running Wizards, we acquired a TSR, and that's what got Gen Con into the Wizard of the Coast umbrella. And then we sold everything. We got Magic, Dungeons & Dragons, Gen Con, the Yu-Gi-Oh! License that we had. I'm not Yu-Gi-Oh! There you go. You did that to me.
Exactly.
Pokemon. Pikachu, love you. We sold all that to Hasbro. And then when I left, I told them I was pretty sure that Hasbro would eventually want to divest some of the businesses that were off strategy for them. So I said, if that ever happens, let me know. And they gave me a call a year later, and they had several, and I chose Gen Con. I said, and the other three, no, I don't care about. But Gen Con, that's great. So I like to say it's the show I love so much, I bought it twice.
Exactly. Seriously. Because you bought it the first time, and you're like, I want to play. Is it... It's like adding a game room to your life to some extent, because, I mean, do you game much? I mean,
oh yeah, a lot. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What are your current favorites? I mean,
Well, let's see. I've recently become very obsessed with Agricola. Obsessed with it, but I have no idea how to say it. It's German.
I had to pry him off of his cell phone to come do this podcast. Yeah. He was making moves between games that he's playing here. So.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
And you're playing via cell phone, like some sort of chess game? You're just texting?
Oh, I'm not good enough to go out and play in public yet. I only play with the AI. This is what you do as a gamer. You know, you bone up on the AI first before you ever play it in public.
You got to build up your cred.
Yeah, fair enough. You got to hold your spot at the table, man.
Exactly. Because my current favorite, and Rangers of the Dork Forest know this, my current favorite board games are Pandemic.
Oh, that's great.
And Thunderstone Advance.
Yeah.
And I really like Small World.
Yeah.
And I like Risk Legacy. And then I'll stop talking. But there's like little ones too that I like. Guillotine and
Guillotine's a great game.
That's an old
Love Letter. If you played that, that's Letter by AEG. That's like a big in terms of a smaller.
Yeah, it's a card game.
It's a small card game, really easy, fast to play.
I will be writing that down.
It's amazing.
As a marketing guy, I have to say, all available at Gen Con. That's GenCon.com.
Yes, that's right.
It's the dealer room is available.
Yeah, that's right.
One of Andy's friends, because Andy and all of his, they're all game designers, right?
Yeah.
And he had never been to Gen Con before last year. And I swear to God, when he called me from it, he was almost crying. He was so happy. There's like 50, and they all just want to play games.
Oh, yeah, that's because they just run out of the new Skull and Shackles Pathfinder Adventure Card Game expansion.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's probably why he was crying.
No, he was just like, please let me, I'll just take it to ride. Let's just go play, and sure. It'll be fun. And he had four days. When I said we were coming this year, he said, and then we'll leave Monday. And I said, yeah, but my shows are done on Saturday. We could leave on Sunday. And he was like, uh-huh. The con goes till at least 3 at least on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, and that day you could just come and play all day. And I was like, yes, I enjoy gaming. Not as much as, I don't know that, I don't know anyone who
Your
likes.
Son is very wise.
My husband?
Husband.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Your husband. Oh,
no worries. No worries. He is a bit of a boy toy.
Yeah.
let's wink at each other and say things. He's a wise man in many ways, and everything is a game. Like we were talking about politics today, and he was talking about the cops have all this military equipment now, I guess.
Sure.
And he goes, yeah, you know, in video games, you give somebody a power, they're going to use it. You give somebody an MRAP, they're going to want to drive around in it. And why wouldn't you give give them a...
Got all these drones collecting dust.
That's right.
Let's put one of these birds in the air.
Exactly. Anything. I don't care. We'll make them deliver Amazon.
Yeah.
And you give somebody a toy, they're going to want to play with it. So, so everything is game-related in his world. And so Love Letters is a card game. Is it pretty quick, too?
It's very fast.
Oh, yeah. Very fast. 30 minutes?
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect.
Yep. And less than that, even.
Oh, yeah. Oh, cool. All right.
Yeah.
Because I do.
Oh, wait, that's a round, and you play several rounds. Yeah, I think it's probably about 20, 30 minutes to play a full game.
Okay. All right. Yep. Yeah, because the gateway drug that he got me, because I never played board games as a child, because I'm the youngest of 6, and there were all these sibling problems. And so when I started playing with him, because he has like 40 close friends that he games with regularly in Los Angeles. And he said that they've weeded out over the last 25 years everybody who's too competitive or kind of jackassy.
Uh-huh.
He said there are still people that are min-maxing their characters and are muscle-bound. He's got his buddy Phil is always some sort of...
Wait, I thought you said he was a gamer.
Yes, but he's...
He's
a gamer who likes to weed out the really stiff competition. Okay, I can respect
that. He just doesn't like it when it gets too intense. He's like,
I agree with you.
He's like, I want to play.
I know what you mean.
You want to win, but you don't want it to. He doesn't want to lose friends over the damn thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Come into play. And,
exactly. Yeah, there's no hitting in grown-up play.
Just don't let him buy diplomacy if he doesn't have it.
Oh my gosh. Right.
Yeah.
We have several giant games that I can't play because I get like a stress headache. Axis and Allies.
Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah, but Diplomacy, do you have that one?
I think actually, we have
I'm,
that. I've never...
I'm just going to recommend it. Yeah, go ahead and play it and see what happens. Oh, it's going to be like a little Petri dish.
He's got a couple of games that the names are pretty. He's got a game called Illuminati that I've never played.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever.
Yeah. Steve Jackson Games.
Oh, is it a Steve Jackson one? Okay. Yeah. I went to college with John Kovalik, the artist guy.
Oh, what a guy. He just did a great new game called ROFL. Yeah, and
rolling
it's a...
Rolling on the floor laughing?
Yep, it's a party game.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great game. I'm sure it's for sale here, too.
Yeah, I think it's out there somewhere.
That's Gen Con.
Open now.
Available at all times, every year. And do you usually have it at this time of year?
Yes, the show dates for the next 20 years are actually... Or the
20 years.
2020. It's day two at Gen Con. I'm getting a little punchy.
Until 2020. So for the next 2020, the show dates are posted.
In 2015, we're back on July 30th in Indianapolis.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, so somewhere between July and August, that's when they...
Typically.
Because this week
our
is
sweet
also...
spot is early August when we can get it, you know, or the very tippy end of July, because in this area, kids go back to school around mid-August. So ideally for us is to have the show before then. But we don't get total choice in exactly which dates.
Right, because convention,
conventions, there's a lot of
and
other stuff
going on.
And
this is State Fair Week, too.
Yeah.
So you're just like, what's happening?
Yeah.
And so try to find a...
I thought it got canceled.
No, it's running. They're great in ears of corn.
No, there's a golden opportunity to buy some French toast on a stick somewhere in this city. It's
some
all,
deep fried product.
It's all working out. It's now, Jake, Tice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. Well played, me.
Twice as nice.
Twice as nice. But it's T-E-I-S or something, right?
No,
T-H-E-I-S.
What is the ancestry, if I might? Scrabble around
it's
your
kinda
brain.
It's kind of wild,
box.
Actually. I'm glad that you asked. My dad's parents came over from Luxembourg, so I'm Luxembourgish at that time, but I don't think it was even a country when they came over.
Yeah,
it's still not.
I think people call that German.
It's a Dutch. I don't know. They tell me it means monk.
Okay.
So, and a better question is, how are monks having kids and passing their name?
Right. Those are some risque monks.
So whenever people ask about my last name, it just turns into Quagmire.
Right. Well, Cation is supposedly means son of a priest. And you're like, wow, I don't think he was supposed to do that.
Yeah.
And, but okay. All right. You knock yourself out. Yeah. And
so, it was a cold winter.
So Luxembourg-y. You're a Luxembourg on both sides? You pretty much? Oh, okay.
Another great story
about the
American tradition. My mother's family came over from Ireland, and they were canal diggers. They dug the I&M Canal until they had enough money to buy farmland.
Right. Sure. So, a triumph of an immigrant story.
And now the work I do is similar.
And
you're
I was
digging you're digging a trench.
I'm making eye contact with Peter, which probably doesn't come across in audio.
No, audio-wise.
And I was raised on an Indian reservation.
Oh, really? Which one?
Well, I have to kind of stretch it, but no, Nez Perce Indian Reservation in Idaho.
Oh, in Idaho.
Yeah.
All right.
Technically, I never lived there, but that's where I was raised.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you Native American?
No. I have some. I have some, but not, you know, just like everybody else.
A little bit of, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, great grandmother came out as a, you know, Cherokee in a covered wagon, you know.
Okay.
14-year-old husband, that sort of thing. But
you guys,
was this like 1960 or
no? So your family's been here. You guys got here early.
My family did. It's mainly German settlers that settled in Idaho
early 1800s or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
That is interesting. Then.
It might be late 1800s, but family documentation's a little sparse,
a little light. Yeah. My
probably
family,
didn't know how to write.
Running from the law.
Running from Mormons. Did you end up converting to there's an opportunity right now. Hi, let me put this down.
Yeah. No. No, I was raised in a different cult.
Fair enough. We all have our own cross to bear.
Yes.
Hey, I'm here all week.
You're closer now.
Exactly.
It's a different cult.
Okay. And now you said that you could swear in French Canadian. Because I ask people what their dorkdoms are.
And actually, that's one of those things where my wife and I will TiVo and watch Jeopardy, and you have to come out with an amusing 15-second soundbite. So we're always trying to talk with each other and say, you know, what would you say in that 15 seconds on Jeopardy to grab Alex's attention?
Oh.
So I can swear in French-Canadian, I think, is my current front runner.
The front runner of different things.
Of amusing anecdotes for Jeopardy.
What's his face is to keep Alex Trebek's attention for 15 seconds?
Yeah, exactly.
What would you say in French-Canadian? And why is it French-Canadian and not just French?
So actually, let's see, where to start?
we need the shortest version possible. This is a podcast.
Hello and welcome. Boom!
I won't steal your thunder.
Not possible on the Dork Forest. Everyone has their own thunder.
Time's up.
As someone that's been marketing in the game industry, it's variable on kind of where gaming is at any particular moment. Right now, it's at, I think, the peak of
It's a golden age. It's golden age of gaming.
Yeah, it really
Platinum
is.
Age? I don't know. What's it?
Yeah. Mithril.
Age?
Mithril.
Yeah, there we go. But at different times, it has not been as bold and bright as it is these days. So in game marketing and game design and development, you kind of have to follow the gold rushes around and, you know, work different companies, get your foot in the door, grind. And I'm sure any aspiring game designers that are listening to this absolutely know that, you know, they're knocking on doors all around the globe to get their games done. An opportunity presented itself a few years back for me to move to Quebec City in Canada and follow the big kind of video game explosion that was happening there. So before my wife and I moved, we decided we would be awesome Americans. Like, we were going to be like the missionaries that were like, okay, we're going to learn your language and culture. We're not going to show up in cowboy hats and start pushing people
making
around.
Sure everybody speaks English to us.
So you get the Rosetta Stone and you try to bone up and you're like, okay, I got about 60 days. We're going to arrive and people are going to love us and like they're going to love America because of us.
You know, the Mormons invented the Rosetta Stone. I'm back to the Mormons. I was never Mormon. Anyway, go.
Is there hidden sponsorship for the podcast?
Yeah, the Dork Forest, sponsored this month by the Mormon Church, the Church of Latter-day Saints. Anyway, continue.
So I made a valiant effort to learn French before I arrived. And then I show up, and there are a lot of like cultural guidelines to learning French, too. As important as the language is not stepping on these kind of like hot wire different things. So like, you know, you say bonjour if you're greeting someone and that means good day, good evening, how are you? Everything kind of rolled into one bundle. I say never say bon matin, which is good morning.
Okay.
Because you would never say good morning in Paris. That's a ridiculous thing to tell someone.
People don't like morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
So all of these things are drilled in my head through these learning software, and I arrive and on my first day in the office, the lady greets me at the desk, oh, bon matin. And then the next person that greets me, bon matin, throughout the day. So then I banged my head into my desk about as hard as I could because everything that I had learned and the hours that I had put into studying it were fairly useless when I moved there. And their language and their culture and their French was dramatically different.
Oh,
and
sure, from the Rosetta Stone? Yes.
Is also dramatically different. So we got there.
Nice work.
Parisian French swearing follows American pretty closely. You know, it's scatological or questioning people's occupation as being a lady of the night or different things like that.
Oh, interesting. I enjoy these. Discussing swearing with you, Jake, is hilarious to me because you're like, let's not actually swear. Let's talk about the swears that do exist in scatological. Anyway, go for it.
I'll drop some French-Canadian swears.
Oh, you blow it. You blow it out.
Or even in Parisian, you say merde, and that's people know that one. And but in French-Canadian, they're all religious swearing.
Oh.
Because they developed 16th century French and carried it forward. And like at that time, you know, being sacrilegious was the gnarliest thing you could be. So, like, you would say, tabernacle. Literally, the tabernacle, translated in French, is, like, their C word. Like, that's, like, dropping.
Serious.
That's, like, a...
Okay, now I'm in. I'm totally on board, Jake. What is happening? The word tabernacle means, essentially, the C word.
That's high powered swearing. And
okay.
That's, you know, where
the tabernacle choir. What the heck is the tabernacle?
Well, now we understand why Mormonism never really took off up there.
In Canada.
any sort of taking a religious object name,
Sacré Bleu, or something, or like
that one is a little tamer. Like okay. You could say baptême, which is a baptism.
Okay.
And like if you were to say that, like someone what would drop their bag at a grocery
But how do you
store.
Use the sentence? Oh, like, instead of saying shit,
exactly,
you're like
yeah.
baton.
Yeah.
You're like, oh.
I don't know. We could say like shit or fuck.
No, oh, yeah, no, yeah. No, you could totally say fuck. And this is, nobody cares. I have it listed on iTunes as clean, but do you know why? Because everyone knows what swear words are. They're fine. Even 12-year-olds are like, no, I can swear harder than that. So nobody on the Dork Forest is ever, it's never anything. There's an occasional F word. Who gives a damn?
So then the funniest thing is, you know, if you're going to say gosh darn, the equivalent okay. in French, they watered down their religious swearing, in French Canadian, I should say. So they would say tabernouche, which is like their darn.
Oh, so okay. So the hard
strange.
C or something, tabernacle, yep. is the hard C. And they're like, yeah, that'll show you. But tabernouche yep. is just, eh.
Well, you could say that on TV.
You're a jackass.
People would
yeah.
just be like, oh, golly. Like, yeah, so it was wild. So I grew up going through Catholic school, and
sure.
then I was like, I know all sorts of religious words. And so I would, you know, talk to a coworker. I'm like, Is this a swear? Until I think they were all sick of me, and they're like, yes, it's the worst one. Please stop.
What about holy water?
Yeah.
I totally
crucifix.
Love you. You're just going through the catechism of the Catholic
exactly.
Church, going, what about this one? You guys have nuns?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
And John Paul and Mary.
Yeah, people, the blood was coming out of their eyes at a certain point. They're like, please, no more.
I enjoy that a great deal. You know, yeah. who's been on the Dork Forest was Ken Jennings.
Oh, wow.
From Jeopardy.
Yeah.
And he was.
He had to come up with 70 interesting things to say.
Was he on 70 times?
I think so.
Well
70,
played.
72.
Well, pulling that out of the.
Circle the, gets a square. Different game.
Different game. That's it. Remember the dragon one where there was the
yeah,
tic tac toe?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was it. And then you get the dragon.
Joker's Wild.
Sure.
Fine.
We have gone down a Dork Forest wormhole.
Damn
and it's just yeah. fine. What? Yeah, so Peter, what you're doing is you're playing Agricola on, are you playing an app? Are you playing until you get it down and
yeah,
then you're going to, then yeah, you're willing to bring yeah. it into 3D?
Yeah, I mean, that's not the only thing I play.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Why would it be?
Yeah, yeah. yeah. No, I play a lot of role-playing games.
On, like
No.
Okay.
Not those kind.
Oh, tabletop.
No, tabletop. Yeah, with real people
with
in person.
Looking
at
deeply.
At a counter table. Yeah.
Across a
exactly.
table.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, with funny accents. And
you know, Andy makes video games for a living, but about a month and a half ago, he goes, you know, I don't know if I want to make video games anymore. I think I want to make board games. And then we sat there for a moment, and he goes, yes. The lucrative world of board
yes,
games.
Exactly. I was going to say, how do I break this to them gently?
Right.
Good 30 or 40 people that make yeah. a nice living.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, well, I'll tell you, yeah, I do stand up. You can do whatever you want for a living.
Yeah.
But, and he was like, no, I'm going to keep my job.
Yeah. Okay.
He's like, that's fine. Just make whatever games you want. But so, but he's the one who introduced, like, I am in a D&D game that he,
right.
he was like, you're going to be playing. So you're going to enjoy this.
And your gamer like, cred just went up another 2 points.
Well,
tell
I am
about
a,
your character.
I'm a 15th level Shadow Dancer rogue.
Wow.
In Eberron.
That's pretty good.
My first car was a Shadow Dancer rogue.
it's Eberron, but it's like
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Keith Baker.
Yeah, and then, oh, right. Do you know Keith Baker?
Yeah.
Of course you do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, allow me to say a name you don't know. There isn't one.
Yeah. Do another Mormon callback? I don't know. John Smith.
John, yes. Oh, I remember yeah. that guy. Adam Smith. Different kind of Mormonism. The kind yeah. that sells stuff. Yeah, so yeah, but I also play Champions or Hero mm-hmm.
yep.
system,
sure.
and
yep.
I hated that. I didn't like that at all. That was fiddly as all hell, and I was like, how many? I mean, I like the fact that you got to roll like 36 dice
oh,
on
yeah.
board. That's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah.
But I just, I was like, you got to tell me what I'm doing. Just as I'm willing to have my character, I'm willing to move my
yeah.
dude.
Yeah, it's pretty crunchy.
Yeah, it's super, super
yeah.
mathy.
Yeah, I actually kind of like crunchy.
Oh, do you like
it? The harder, crunchier. It says, I play a lot of Burning Wheel. That's my,
like
my favorite.
Though. You like story?
Yeah, I love
like
story
gosh,
games. It would, like, yeah, especially role-playing games. I haven't found the right LARP yet, but still looking. I haven't given up.
Oh, yeah.
You like
some
story
time.
Games?
Yeah, I love story games.
You know story games?
Yeah.
What
yeah.
story
like
games?
Like Fiasco is probably the most famous one.
Yeah?
But it's a subcategory of role-playing games where the focus is all the way over on the scale toward light mechanics but heavy on role playing.
Oh, heavy on role playing
story and
but
stuff
before
like that.
Going into yeah. LARPing.
It's the opposite. Well, it's I guess. Well, there's some similarities to LARPing in that it's pretty free form and pretty light on rules. But
okay.
LARPing, you would typically expect to stand up and walk around
yeah.
and interact. And
yeah, more like a costume party with yeah, game mechanics is
yeah,
what I think of it
yeah,
as.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's good. Whereas Fiasco, yeah. you're sitting around a table. If somebody walked by casually, they might think you're playing might not realize that what you're playing is pretty different than a traditional Dungeons & Dragons.
And
style.
Fiasco is kind of the most famous of those?
Yeah, or? That's probably the breakout game.
It's
if
often
you
described
will.
As kind of role playing a Coen Brothers movie.
Oh, really? So,
things yeah. break and things go wrong. And
yeah,
okay.
you're playing kind of
consequences.
Yeah,
okay.
small minded criminals with big ambitions and poor impulse control.
Oh, my God, my dad.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, Dad, I didn't mean it. Yeah. Anyway, so... but he doesn't listen. He doesn't have the internet.
Yeah.
So it's all good. He's... okay, so what are... And so you like those, but you also like the fiddly kind of tabletop where...
Yeah, I like... I like some nice, crunchy role-playing system. It depends, a story game is ideal if you're just going to play once with a group. Like
yeah.
like a one-off.
Okay.
And, if you want a long-term campaign style...
Yeah.
Then you like a lot more depth to the mechanics so that, you have more dials to turn.
I'm going
to
coin a term.
Yep.
You're a gaming omnivore.
Omnivore, gaming omnivore.
You
yeah.
might be a
yeah.
multifaceted yeah. diamond of dorkdom. You're yeah. definitely what I like to refer to as a dork luminary.
There we
that's
go.
A, that's what I had Ernie Klein on in Austin, and he's the Austin, Texas dork.
A luminork.
A luminork? Lumidork.
Luminork.
Luminork.
Quick, Jake, trademark that.
Call lawyers.
Quick. And I think that it's so important to be able to play different games, though. I mean, and especially
yeah.
in your...
Yeah, I've seen so many times where, I'll see a gamer who is being asked by perhaps a non-gamer or gamer
yeah.
light for game recommendations, and the gamer is so attached to what his or her favorite is that,
yeah.
that the gamer's not thinking about what's realistic for the situation.
Right, like, and if you're looking at someone new.
Yeah, it's sort of like, okay, this person, the person is obviously just barely curious about gaming, and you're going to teach her how to play Champions?
No.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Let's start with
something.
Yeah.
Yeah, the intro game, I think Andy, as the native Sherpa into this thing, was apples to apples.
Yeah.
And because it's great for stand-up, and I brought it to stand-up comics that I know, because comics, everybody we need gets 2 minutes, right? I mean,
yeah,
everybody
yeah.
gets to be green, yeah, and so everybody yeah. gets to be hilarious for a minute or two,
yeah.
and it's perfect for
that's
stand-up
like 10
comics.
Jeopardies.
Yeah.
yeah exactly.
You get 15 seconds yeah. of hilarity. And then from there, I think we went into, more fiddly, more board gamey kind of stuff, and then Settlers and Citadels
yeah.
and
yeah.
that kind of, and Guillotine I really liked just yeah. because it's small.
You published Guillotine.
Yep. Right? Yeah. We published that while I was still at Wizards back.
Oh, that's
I think
cool.
we're rolling about 1995, maybe 96.
It was 1994.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I remember.
At least 95. Because we had a hard winter.
I do. I learned how to play Magic the Gathering because the guy yeah. who booked the.
Play for money?
No, the guy who booked the comedy club in Minneapolis was a Magic the Gathering guy.
Nice.
And he was like, when you want to work the club, you want to do the thing that the guy who books the comedy.
Yeah,
like if he was a
sense.
Drinker, I'd be like, oh, let's go out drinking.
Right.
And but he was a guy who wanted to play magic.
Nice.
Giant nerd. I think he worked for Wizards of the Coast for a little while.
He probably knows my dad.
Name drop him and Wizards will set him up.
Greg Langer. I don't
right.
know if you know Greg Langer.
Greg Langer,
no. All right, well, it's fine.
No.
It's a, he's a perfectly nice man.
All right, Wizards, he's in Minnesota, send him stuff.
Send yep. him stuff, Wizards. And yep. And I do a joke right now. I do a joke about...
he has the same initials as the CEO.
GL.
What's the CEO? Greg Leeds. Greg Leeds, hi, love you.
Hello, Greg Leeds. Add Greg Leeds on Twitter.
Yes, send us stuff too. Really love to get a copy of that fifth edition D&D.
My shadow dancers are breaking down, man. I could use the car.
Yeah, we've been playing that Eberron game for so long that we are literally the last four games have just been one giant battle where we finish.
Oh, yeah. We've done that.
Yeah, where you finish fighting and then you're down 30 hit points and you're like, okay, well, let's regroup. And then all of a sudden the artificer rises out of the canyon. He's like, no, we're actually going to try to kill you this time. And because Andy's, have you DM'd? Have you guys dungeon mastered or game mastered or whatever?
Yeah. A lot.
Yeah.
A ton.
How many
hours?
Is it more fun than playing sometimes? Millions, or is it a different? I've never DM'd. I've never game mastered anything.
It's a different type of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't enjoy it as much as I used to.
Okay.
I DM'd so much back in high school, college, early adult years. You know, I started playing 1978. Yeah. From 1978, I would say about the time we started Wizard of the Coast, 1990, in the early 90s. And then I got back into it, turn of the century. I'm just too lazy now.
It's a lot of work.
I realize what I'm doing is putting in, you know, all these hours of preparation time, you know, and then these fuckers can't even keep their character sheet in line.
Like, I asked you guys to level up.
Yeah.
Why won't you pick your...
Come on. Can't you... You promised to document what happened in the adventure. Where are your session notes?
Where are your notes? Oh, my God. Andy's got folders and folders and folders.
Yeah. All right. Jim's dropping his accent for his character. This is not the world that I envisioned.
Well, the weird thing is like, I've played in I've only done, like, four or five different campaign-y kind of games, right? Between Champions and Eberron, and now I'm in a Pathfinder game. And what cracks me up about the guy who runs the Pathfinder game, I was getting so mad at the Pathfinder game because he keeps killing us. He really wants to, and it took me until I was just watching, because I'm in this Pathfinder game and Eric is the game master, and he knows how many hit points you have, but he also knows how many hero points you have. And so he's like, it hits you for 47 points. And I saw him do it to this kid who plays with us, one of our friends, 12-year-old. Uh-huh. And he's like, well, I'm dead now. And he almost is crying and he's almost super sad. And Eric goes, yeah, you're dead. Yeah, you are. And I'm watching.
That's in the car.
That's old school there.
And I've been Bernard. I've been the kid going, well, no, I'm dead. And because I never played. And so then Eric lets it sit there for like three beats. And he goes, how many hero points do you have? And Bernard goes, 4. And he said, for 2 hero points, you can stop bleeding out. And so he knows he's essentially like it's a 1-2 kind of, I'm not going to kill you. Pulling him back from the brink. And it's, I was like, oh, because it's like a different personality being the puppet master, and you don't know what, whenever you get to know somebody a lot better when they're the game master than you ever thought. Like, what weird.
I think there's another thing that happened, like, in my experience with sort of old school style game, like D&D, let's just be honest.
Why lie today? Yeah.
Traditional class based systems. there is a little bit of this bluffing type of illusionary sort of thing. Because as a GM, you want to push them right to the brink, and you want to give them that fear that they're going to die.
There's consequences.
But you don't want them to die, really. I mean, maybe, you know, when you're playing first, second, third level characters, nobody cares. But, you know, I remember the first time I killed off a 10th level PC, you know, the guy quit playing. You know, I mean, and he never came back to the table. I'm like, well, that moment wasn't fun.
Right.
Actually, for him, clearly.
Clearly.
But in a larger scope, the idea is that once in a while, a character dies, you have a fear. I mean, that's why, you know, Game of Thrones kills off protagonists, so the audience never gets too comfortable.
Right.
You know, and so I understand that. But I kind of got tired of having to... Because the only way you can push right to the edge is, well, if you're the type of person like your friend who can actually memorize exactly, and then you're but he's fudging the numbers too, right?
Yeah,
he's putting out something. I mean,
I like takes, the attention.
I mean, what I'm saying is you can't GM D&D totally straight up. Every die roll falls as it does, and over the long term, and create that sense of fear. Either if you're pushing it that close and the players are constantly really worried about their characters surviving, then you're probably fudging at some point or you're going to kill them.
Right, right. And right? So you just, you either have to, I mean, you have to sort of sacrifice something either for fun,
yeah,
or you have to fudge yeah something for fun.
Yeah,
that's
so
why, that's why story gaming, I think, is so yeah popular in that you get a roller coaster ride experience. You're not on the endless roller coaster that you
yeah
know, may plummet a character.
Well, and you know, if it's a one shot, you don't care if you die because yeah, yeah, you know, it was hilarious. You were only going to do it once anyway, right? You know,
right.
The character already had that one session life expectancy.
That was yeah, yeah, that you were going to die in that thing anyway. Yeah, yeah, it's,
yeah. Yeah, so I kind of got, you know, that was probably became my biggest dissatisfaction with D&D is that sort of allusion to it, and that led me to, you know, more towards games that solve that problem mechanically.
Right. It's, you know, it's interesting watching all of the different game the DMs and all of the game designers that I keep meeting. Everybody has, like, Andy's got a buddy that they all want the game mechanics to work, right? That's the first rule of designing a game, I guess. Make sure it doesn't, don't break it. I mean, make yeah it, make sure right that the arc is there. And then the next thing is what's either somebody wants it to be story or they want it to be, like, what dude do you get to play? Or
yeah, and, you know, yeah, hack and slash, or, you know, leveling up, you know, collecting treasure and killing monsters. It was kind of interesting reveal. I think myself and a lot of other people, gamers I know, were often, you know, saying, man, we just like role-playing, but we wish it was there was, a, you know, role-playing games that were more about really creating a story. And you say this, and then these games come along.
There must
be
a better way.
And now you have a game like Fiasco, and there's a whole horde of others that deserve recognition. And you play that game, and some people are like, oh, that's awesome. Some people are going, you know, actually, I kind of liked leveling up.
Sure.
It was fun rolling all those dice and killing those monsters and collecting treasure. And then it kind of makes you question, what is a role-playing game?
Right.
And what did you think the role-playing...
Right.
What,
how do you define know, that? Or?
Yeah, you kind of have to revisit that in your head as to what it is about a role-playing game that you like.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, because it's especially like the LARPs that I've seen. Like we, I haven't seen Andy and his buddies LARP, right? And so they have done the coolest one I ever saw that he did was a Sandman LARP, and it was the third one that he had done, mm-hmm. and it was based on The Wake, but it was 45 people in a theater
wow.
in mm-hmm. Los Angeles, and there were how many endless are there? 9, and so everybody had to write. There were 9 people that were assigned to write one-act plays, like small, short mm-hmm. plays about how each of the Endless died, because it was who they didn't know who was going to die. It wasn't necessarily going to be Dream.
Right.
And it was the first LARP that I had ever even heard of. And I was like, and Andy was like, do you want to be in the LARP? And I said, I'll do craft services, and I'll do anything, but I don't know what that is. And so I played an extra, like I would go deliver, you know, different things to Odin. But there was the LARPing, which was the sort of a costume party with food and drink and good times and people having conversations and partying. And then these one act plays would happen throughout the day and night because it was a 12-hour event.
Yeah.
And each of the plays were fascinating. My favorite one, I think, was when Desire died.
Uh-huh.
And Desire, I only remember this because my Desire was killed by apathy. And whoever wrote that made me laugh.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because it would be the only thing that would kill Desire. And I don't even remember how they ended. Like, I don't even remember who, I think, I don't know who died. I don't remember in the game who.
What percentage of people at this LARP were wearing black clothes?
I would say a fair number. Fair number of
them. When I think about like a Neil Gaiman Sandman art.
Yeah.
A LARP, I'm envisioning like 97%.
Right. The only other LARP that I've been in on a regular basis is Andy had an ongoing Deadwood LARP based on the TV show.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And
about swearing.
There was
that's beautiful.
The craziest swearing because his buddy, Richard Becker, totally usually picks some dirtbag to be, right?
Yeah.
And then, so him and the other guy are running a saloon in our barbecue pit. And they're using the N-word. And I'm like, hey, we have inside the pit. Inside, outside in our yard. And I was like, hey, we have neighbors. You want to do your acting. If you could do your LARP, you could do your role-playing in the garage where you can live action. And I was like, I get what you're doing. I mean, he's trying to be in character, and he's being realistic, and it was fine. You know, the guest bedroom was the whorehouse. Good times were happening.
Are your neighbors used to this by now, really?
Our neighbors are used to a bunch of nerds showing up, for sure. There's like, oh, they're having a dork party. Well done. Well played.
They've turned their garage into the saloon again.
We have a small house, but a very big backyard.
Like, you're not playing Deadwood over there again, are you? I need to take the kids away.
Hopefully you're playing Deadwood, because I'm hearing a lot of nonsense. And you're, because that's what I like to refer to. I like to refer to racism as nonsense. Anyway, the worst. So now, Peter, you've been doing, now, since you sold everything back and now you kept Gen Con, but you've been getting into film. You told me, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's your new thing.
Age 50, I decided, yeah, I'd try something totally different. So I went to film school in 2012.
Yeah.
And then last year, I made my first film, and it's premiering here at Gen Con. It's called The Devil Walks in Salem.
The Devil Watches?
Walks. The
Walks.
Devil Walks in Salem. Ooh, my.
Ooh, there we go.
Yeah, let me enunciate. Yes. And the geek factor on this is that the screenplay was an adaptation of a story created in a game of Fiasco that we talked about earlier.
Oh.
So while I was in film school, I wanted something to kind of film on the side, you know, something, you know, practical way to practice what I was learning. And so I just started filming role-playing sessions. And I filmed about 30 role-playing sessions. And then when I got out of school, I took the session that created the best story.
Yep.
Which was a Fiasco game using the Salem playset.
Okay.
And we adapted it to a screenplay and then went and filmed it as a movie.
And
the bar is that if you watch this film, that you would, you know, that it just looks like something, you know, that you would see in a theater. You don't hear the dice rolling in the background.
Right.
Right. Especially since it's a story game.
Right.
So it's set, the story was set in the Salem Witch Trials. It's, you know, totally fictional story because it was created by role players, but set in a historical setting.
And then all you did was just essentially flesh out a script from that story.
Yep.
And then hire actors and shoot it as a film.
Yeah, we hired professional actors. In fact, two of them are here, Trent Miller and Connor Marks, excuse me.
Excellent.
And who they're going to be at the tomorrow Friday night at 11 p.m. We're debuting it.
And how long is the short film?
It's a 30-minute.
30-minute film.
Yeah, a long short.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
thank you.
Yeah, because Patrick Brady, who does the fixes my audio for me, thank you, Patrick.
Great.
He is also a filmmaker, and I'm sure he would love to check that out. As are many of the listeners to the Dork Forest.
Like a long Excellent. Short.
Yes,
a long,
a long short. Well, most shorts are like 10. No, you can't call it a medium.
I'm working on a medium
or a tall.
Okay.
And what about but people will be able to watch it online after Gen Con?
We're going to be sending it to festivals for the next year. We'll release it to the general public.
Is there a trailer?
A year from now.
At Peter Atkinson. Atkinson.
We haven't released a trailer yet.
No trailer yet?
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Soon.
Soon. It'll keep posted, folks.
Yeah.
I'll link your website for sure, and I'll link Gen Con's website.
Thank you.
And what about you, Jake? Should I link anything like your Twitter handle? Do you want Rangers of the Dork Forest to ask you about marketing?
Sure. That sounds fun. Yeah.
Good.
I'll invite myself to this nightmare. Why not? No.
Right. You're like, I don't know. What do you think? Then you should get a Facebook page.
Smash cut to me selling knives door to door.
Cutco.
Yeah.
So this has been so fun, you guys.
Thank you for having us.
I've learned
a lot of fun for us too.
Yeah, I have learned so much, and I'm going to go play a board game, I think.
Please play 10.
Tabernacle.
Yeah. Tabernacle. Au revoir.
Carlis.
Take care of
Holy water.
Holy water.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay. Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?